with a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we humbly approach your throne of mercy, thanking you so much for this glorious day that you've given to us. Father, as we come to worship you and to study your word, we pray that you will help us to gain a better understanding and a deeper appreciation of your word and your love. Be with us throughout this hour and the one to follow, dear Father, that we might be edified and encouraged and enriched, and at the same time, glorify your holy name. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray and we ask all things. Amen. Well, it is good to see everyone this morning. And this morning, I thought that we would spend a little bit of time talking about a topic that is just critical to our being, and that topic is love. And so we're going to spend a little time this morning examining the scripture to kind of get a better understanding of love and its importance in our lives today. There's an old song that some of you might be familiar with, some of the terminology is what the world needs now is love, sweet love, and that is so appropriate, not just today, but every day. And when you consider from a Christian perspective, from a spiritual perspective, we know that 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. And so when you consider the lyrics of that song, you know, and you understand that the world needs love, what we really understand that to mean is what? The world needs God. And we need God every moment of every day. Jesus said in John 14:15, you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then if you turn with me to John 13, in verse 34, reads, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So, dropping down to verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So we want to take a look at some scriptures today to see and to make sure that we all understand how we do this and exactly what this looks like. We understand that we're commanded to love one another. We know the source of love. Source of love is God. God himself is love. And yet we have this commandment to love one another. And we also, taking a brief look, and we'll come back around to it, Jesus himself has said that the way that we demonstrate our love to him is to keep his commandments. Is that right? So we have to keep his commandments. And one of his commandments is certainly to love one another. And so how does that look for us today, and what does that mean? And so what I would hope to have today is some discussion around this, because this is not, I'm not presenting a concept that's new to any of us here today. But in 2 Peter, the writer says that, you know, he's sharing these things to stir you up, right? So we need to be stirred up every once in a while so that we can, you know, better grasp and better live out our Christian lives in the fashion that God would have us to. And so let's approach this from that perspective, that we might be able to discuss this topic in these passages of Scripture so that we can better ourselves in our daily walk with God. Now, it's critical that we understand what this concept is and how we're looking at it, because our love for Christ is inextricably tied to the love that we have for one another, in that those who love the Lord keep his commandments, and again, we're commanded to love one another. So if we truly love God, we're going to keep his commandments, and one of his commandments is to love one another. So we can't say that we love God but not love one another. We're going to look at some scripture that, you know, where God specifically tells us that. But it just makes common sense. Sometimes we don't consider it that way. Sometimes we're not that close to it. But that's truly the essence of what it is that we need to understand about this whole concept of love and how we need to interact one towards another. Turn with me to John chapter 14. And let's look at verse number 21. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So again, keeping God's commandments are essential to our Christian way of living. In 1 John chapter 4, you'll turn with me there. Beginning in verse number 20. The Bible reads, "If a man says, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" And so, and this can be someone can think, well, it's easy to love God, maybe not so for people. But that kind of, that doesn't match up with what the scripture is saying here. Because he says, if a man says, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So how can we say that we love God, but we don't have love for our brother? Is that possible? Does anybody think that it's difficult to love God? Now, do we sometimes have difficulty loving our brother? Okay, so what we're talking about here is something that's very real. This is, it strikes at the core of being a Christian. And sometimes, and what we're going to do, where we're headed is, we're going to look and see exactly what this means, How do we love one another? So, we believe that it's easy to love God, and it's hard to understand or think that it's not, because God is God and we recognize. All that he, is to us and for us. So yeah, one would think that it's not a challenge to love God who's just done everything for us. But we can't really do that, or we don't really do that in the fashion that we ought to if we're lacking on this level between you and I. And so, and that's kind of what we want to really dive into and try to get a better appreciation for, to see whether or not we can improve ourselves and be more of what God is looking for us to be. And just to be crystal clear, let's take a look at 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also, that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when you consider verse number one, everyone who loves God loves those who belong to God. Okay? And verse two tells us that we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So again, there's a direct correlation and a tie to our love for God and our love for one another. In verse three, it says, his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. And I think one of the things that we need to consider is that they aren't burdensome when we've gotten to a point where we can kind of deny ourselves. Someone turn to Matthew chapter 16 in verse 24 and read that for us nice and loud. Matthew chapter 16 in verse 24. So in becoming a Christian, in being a follower of Christ, one of the things that we have to be willing to do is to deny ourselves. What does that mean for us? Any thoughts on that? What does it mean to deny ourselves? Thinking of others first. Anyone else? Making an effort to live holy, being able to put away and put off sinful things in lieu of living for God. Okay? And so, going back now to the passage in 1 John, where it tells us that his commandments are not burdensome, we need to think about that from this perspective. They aren't burdensome once we have gotten to the place where we are able to deny ourselves. Now, if we are having difficulty denying ourselves, then for us, for me, in that moment, can it be difficult or challenging to follow God's commands? Sure it can be. And that's why we have the admonition from Christ that tells us that we have to first be willing to deny ourselves, let our desires go, and forsake those things for the cause of Christ. When we are there, then doing what it is, we learn that his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. Therefore, it goes on to tell us that when we truly act on this, we'll be able to overcome what the world says. We must believe in our faith in what God teaches us through his word more so than what we get from the world. And so those are competing ideas. We have what God is instructing us and trying to encourage us and tell us what to do. But then we have the world that has a whole other set of priorities and a whole other set of rules and things that it would have us to do. And so we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to always be seeking after the things that God would have us to do. Now think about it this way. When we're talking about these competing interests, when a baby is born into the world, and this is a baby born into the world anywhere on God's wonderful planet, that baby does not have any ills, no prejudices, no likes or dislikes. He's not going to like or dislike someone based on their ethnicity, the color of their skin, what neighborhood they live in, how rich they are, how poor they are, how tall they are, how short they are. It just doesn't exist in the mind of a baby, in the heart of a child. Okay? Now, one of the things that came to mind as I was thinking through this is when Jesus says on a number of occasions that we must become like what? We must become like children if we are truly going to be disciples and to be able to follow them. When we put on Christ, we must overcome these worldly ways and learn to love one another as God has called us to love one another. And so what are some of the things or challenges that we have that prevent us from loving one another? Well, we have to unlearn a whole bunch of stuff that we were taught growing up in each of our respective homes. You know, and here's the thing that we can't afford to do. We can't afford to say, well, you know, my folks weren't all that bad. You know, they loved everybody. We come up into this world and we're influenced by things other than God. And so we have to make sure that as we consider loving one another and what that means and who we love and how we love, we have to continually wash away and get rid of all of the things that you know, the world has taught us. You've got to be blind if you don't see what's going on in the world today, where just terrible things are happening to people because of what they look like. Not because of what they're doing, just because they are who they are. What's behind that kind of stuff? Somebody's been taught something. And we act out on the things that we are taught. As Christians, we have to make sure that we're seeing things, that we're maturing in Christ such that we see things the way Christ sees things, so that we're able to do things the way that Christ did things, so that we can follow the commandments that Christ has given for us. And that speaks to the love that we're trying to discuss today. Yes, Neil.
I
Neil's comment was that we ought to see things the way God sees things, as spiritual beings, because that's how God created us. Now that we see and understand the importance of what it is to love one another, we need to also see what the Word says about how we go about doing that. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 in verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So it doesn't matter what it is that we say, but it's rather what we do. What we do is the demonstration of our love, okay? It's not enough just to say a certain thing. But the scripture here is saying, don't just let it be about your talk, because everybody can talk a good game, but make sure your deeds are such that it's going to speak to and show and demonstrate what it is that we are supposed to do in terms of loving one another. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then if you look down at verse number 16, I guess look back up to verse number 16, it says, "By this perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, I believe that we ought to love one another enough to literally lay down our lives for one another, right? You know, if we love one another the way Christ loved us, that's what he did. So, you know, I think it does reach to that extreme. But the context of this doesn't just speak to that extreme. If you continue on in verse number 17, it says, "But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So he immediately starts talking about a very practical approach to loving one another. He's talking about seeing our brothers and sisters who are in need. And the correlation there is, we see somebody in need and we do something about that. It goes on to talk about loving not just word but in deed. But then the contrast is also laid out there. If you don't do something, he questions, how is it that the love of God is in you? Did you have a question? Brother Emmett said that we essentially have to continue to grow up into God in all things. And, you know, as we grow in Christ and in his grace and in his love and in the knowledge, then this stuff is purged out of us. And that's absolutely the case. Point about love is it's one of those things that, you know, I'm not sure how comfortable we get with love, right? Because it's really easy to love that which you know, there's a lot of love in here today. We love one another. I mean, I don't know that I've ever been in a congregation where there's such expressions of love. We love our families. We love our children. We love other folks' children. We love. We get that, right? But, man, the standard that we're called to love, it's a whole lot deeper than sometimes we think. And let's take a look at some more scripture so we can kind of help to draw that point out. Matthew chapter 5. Turn there with me. And we'll look at verse number 34 through 36 and then 40. And the Bible reads, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven." I think I'm at the wrong verse. You know what I'm looking for? Where I'm supposed to be is where Jesus is expressing that you demonstrated love to me when I was sick and when I was in prison and when I was hungry. Help me out. Where are we? It's Matthew 25. Okay, I just wrote 5 down. Okay, Matthew 25. In 34. Okay. And the Bible reads there, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." And then we drop down to verse 40. It says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me." So this gives us more insight into how we can love one another. Have you ever noticed one among us who might be hungry or might be thirsty? Someone who's short on means, brothers or sisters who you know are struggling, who are poor, and provided them with the things that they needed just because you recognize that or because you noticed that. Now, let me stop there for a moment. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. If we don't notice these things, then there's something else that needs to be done, right? Those folks who are the closest to you, those folks who you love, we're supposed to have relationships such that I know when you're hurting. We should have relationships such that we can share those things, but some things you should just be able to see. And I think sometimes we do see things. And so this topic of love, one of the challenges with it is it goes in so many directions and so many places. You know, there's a lesson unto itself about those relationships of love and, you know, what those ought to be. So we'll just kind of touch on that, but move on. For the sake of the larger point here, when was the last time you walked by a stranger that had been worshiping here for 5 or more years and didn't greet them and, you know, say hello, how you doing, or visit with them? As I was thinking about this one, I don't know. Do we have those kind of strangers amongst us? Just something for us to think about. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're a relatively large congregation. We aren't in the thousands. But do you pass by some folks in here that you don't love because you don't know them? And if you don't know them, are there reasons that you don't know them? Have there been barriers put up? Is it something that you think that you don't necessarily like about that person? Have they done something to offend you? Or maybe they've never done anything at all and you've just never taken an opportunity to engage one another. So just kind of have that hanging in the back there as we continue to talk about this concept of love. Yes. And Floyd pointed to, again, some of what the world may be saying that has an impact on our relationships, whether it is cultural divides, economic divides, or you name it. Are any of those things preventing us from being all that God is calling us to be? Just right here at home. And I think that that's worthy of some thought internally and some discussion as well. Because we can't forget that each and every one of us, we're exposed to that crap every day. You can't get away from it. And I don't care whether or not it's the radio, the TV, the television shows, the neighbors, your friends. There are scant places that you can come to hear something other than that and to be challenged to be more than that. It's easy to be good based on the world standards. You know, those standards are relatively low, right? Because anything goes. But when we're called to a higher calling, you know, and that's, again, one of the reasons why it's so critical for us to be able to come together as God has called us to encourage and edify one another in living a righteous life. Now, a couple other things that I want to mention here is, you know, we keep a running list of the folks who are sick, shut in, and I know that we pray for one another along those lines. But when is the last time that we actually took the time to go in to sit with or to visit with somebody who we know has been struggling with something? Now, what I want to do, and time is running out here, I want to go back to where the scripture says that you need to be able to lay down your life for your brother. As I mentioned then, it wasn't necessarily in the context of the extreme, like dying, right? but on a day-to-day basis, laying down your life, setting aside what it is that you need to do, what you want to do, what you have to do for you to see about a brother or sister. Now, you can always come back and pick up your life, right, and continue to work out your own soul salvation. But are we laying down our lives for one another? And I say that in the context of who in here by a show of hand isn't busy, couldn't use an extra 5, 6, 7 hours in a day? And it just seems to get more so and more so. And there's another whole lesson behind that too, right? But that's where we are. That's where we live. We have to find that time to make sure that we're yet loving one another. And it goes back to the command. It's not optional. It's not optional. We're commanded to love one another. So do you think because we ran out of time, because we had to do fill in the blank XYZ, and by the time all that was done, you know, it was past time. You think that's going to be a reasonable and acceptable excuse to God for us not demonstrating the kind of love that we are reading about here? Indeed and in truth, not so much just in word. Something for all of us to really think about and consider. So, it's also important for us to recognize that we have the God-given capability to love one another. So, we read already where, you know, God's commandments aren't burdensome, right? God wouldn't ask us to do something that we're not able to do, that he has not given us the ability to do. Whose image are we made in? We're made in the image of God. We have the capacity to love one another. And he's given us everything that we need for life in godliness. So it's not that we're ill-equipped. We just have to get to the place where we are willing to, where we are, have given ourselves over to this concept more and more. And understand this too. This, I don't intend for this lesson to come across as a, you know, what you're not doing. Don't take it as that at all. I'm just simply looking at the standard that we have to live by and to encourage us to make sure that we are continuing to grow in these areas. Jim. Amen. And I need a part two because that's the whole other side. And so we have 5 minutes left, but I think it bears taking these next couple minutes in looking at the other side because, you know, if you're like me, when I'm going through this lesson, you know, I'm feeling kind of beat up a little bit because I see my shortcomings. But if you think it's difficult in a challenge to love one another as we've been focused on, turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. In And this will help us to even see the greater depths of love. And again, I'll mention that we have the capacity for this because of who we are and whose we are. Matthew or Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 27. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For if you love them who love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to them who do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. In verse 35, and this is really key, but love your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the sons of the highest. Being a son of God, being accepted of him, we spoke earlier about we know we love him if we keep his commandments, but if we don't love him or we don't keep the commandments, then we're not in him. And so that same thought is here when we're talking about loving our enemies. So not only are we commanded to love one another, and if you go back and reflect on the language, your enemies, those who hate you, those who despise you, those who abuse you, we have to understand what our responsibility is there also. And again, Jesus is our great example, right? And he did these things for us. And so we too have the ability to do them for others. And then finally, as we are considering and thinking about what love is, it's always good to understand what love is not. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll close with this. And again, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding bronze or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So consider verse 4, what love is not. Love is not envious. It's not haughty. It's not prideful. It's not arrogant. Verse 5, it's not rude or unseemly. It's not provoked easily. It's not selfish. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. Verse 6, it's not a lover of evil things. Verse 8, it doesn't end. It always continues. So when you recognize, when we recognize any of these things within us that love is not at any point in time, and, you know, now this isn't something that's, you know, I mean, I think it's fair to say that we all will struggle with some of these things, if not most of them, from time to time. We're not walking or operating in the fashion that God has called us to. So we need to understand what love is. We need to understand what it's not. And when we see those things that are in us that don't speak to love, that don't define love, we need to do what we can to correct ourselves and come back to the center, which is God's word. Time's up. Thanks so much for your kind attention.